And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you, as always, bright and early. We're going to have Waiver Wire James on today. We're going to recap a great weekend in the NHL, which included the Stadium Series, great showcase for Nashville, and also a 10-goal game going on in a different city that night. Wild night, Nick. What's going on?
Not too much, my man. Happy Monday to you. Those Canadian tuxedos, by the way, were phenomenal. Tampa Bay Lightning, Nashville Predators. Hats off to the NHL. I had a ball watching that game. I thought it was tremendous, and they're getting better and better. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing well. Excited to bring on Waiver Wire James to talk week 19 of the fantasy season. Our producer, Bob Bender, brought it up this week. The fantasy playoffs are closing in, T-minus like a month away in most leagues. So we're getting to the nitty gritty, the stretch run. So let's bring on Waiver Wire James. Follow him at Waiver Wire James. And James, I mentioned that there was a 10-goal outburst the other day for the Toronto Maple Leafs in their win against the Detroit Red Wings. And Michael Bunting, I think, capitalized on what he's already put together a great rookie season. But maybe this guy's in the Calder Trophy race all of a sudden after a 5-point game. What do you think, James?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me on again, guys. Always great. I know Nick was absolutely dancing and singing his face off to Miranda Lambert the other night when she was performing during the Stadium Series game. So, you know, don't worry, I was too. Bunting, he's just been on such a tear lately. And, you know, he was one of our sleepers going into the season. You know, we thought based off of what he did last year, that short spurt that we got in Arizona. And you said, well, if he can perform like that in Arizona, what can he do, especially if he consistently gets top six usage on this Toronto team? And you're seeing it right now. I think he legitimately has to be a contender for the Calder. And I think that he is, and he's somebody that you absolutely need to be hammering in your lineups right now, regardless if it's a season long league, if it's DFS, whatever it is, you need to jump on him right now. Second in the league in scoring among rookies, behind Raymond from Detroit, who was in that huge offensive juggernaut of a game that we saw on Saturday night. But an interesting stat on Bunting is he's doing a lot of his damage on the road. 29 of his 40 points so far have come on the road. He leads rookies in goals scored on the road, assists, points, and shots on goal all on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see down the stretch when he plays more home games than road games, what he's able to do to finish out the season. But he definitely has to be in that consideration.
And don't forget, the crowd's coming back soon here in Canada. So we're pumped up about that here in Toronto. But yeah, no doubt. Like I would stack this top line for the Maple Leafs against any best line in the NHL right now. That's the way they're playing. And Michael Bunting, you mentioned it, a bit older. Obviously took him longer to get to the NHL, but he's been an absolute marvelous story. And considering who he's playing with right now, guys, like Austin Matthews is on a different planet. Ditto for Mitch Marner. I just think there's too much value, and I think he's must-own for rest of season purposes. You guys know I love the schedule. The Los Angeles Kings, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So suffice to say, James, I'm all over them. Adrian Kempe, Victor Arvidsson. Who are some other guys you're looking at in the Kings this week?
I love Trevor Moore. Points in three of his past four games, and he has 7 points in his last 8 games. So I'm a big fan of what Trevor Moore is doing, not scoring as much as you would probably want, only 9 goals on the season, 21 assists, but he's getting great category coverage, 114 shots, 47 hits, 21 blocks. So, you know, he's getting that kind of gritty middle six category coverage that you would expect. And he's starting to just offensively turn it on. And when you look at their schedule this week, who they have coming up, Boston, I think, is a gettable game. Dallas is a little bit of a tricky matchup with how well Jake Oettinger is playing right now. But then they play Columbus and Buffalo to close out the week. So it's a very, very favorable schedule for a guy like that who is only rostered in about 10% of Yahoo leagues. So if you're not going to get an Adrian Kempe and Arvidsson just because they're not available in your league, you can still get a guy who's getting some exposure to those guys at different aspects of the game.
And Philip Deneau is another one. And another thing we were actually looking at when we were talking about Michael Bunting being second among rookies in shots on goal this season, Arthur Kaliev, despite playing in the bottom six, leads all rookies in shots on goal. So go figure. I mean, I think he has a much higher ceiling in the years to come for keeper and dynasty leagues. If you're looking at what he's been able to generate playing on mostly like the third line and maybe even sometimes not even being in the lineup at all this season. So really impressive stat right there for Kaliev. And then the goalie tandem's rock solid. I mean, the LA Kings, let's go out and say it right now. This looks like a definite playoff team. I don't want to jinx them, but they look extremely consistent. They had that one blip where they lost like three, four in a row about a month and a half ago. But ever since, they've responded really well and they barely lose consecutive games anymore. So I've been really impressed, Nick, about the LA Kings and what they've been able to do consistency wise in a division that sees so many ups and downs. Calgary had the bad stretch, then they won 10 in a row. Vegas is kind of in shambles right now. So, and Edmonton, we know, has been really hot and cold at different points this season. So I think they're the most consistent team, all things considered, this season in that whole Pacific division.
Yeah, I like what they're going. Obviously, the trajectory is high right there. And they've been linked to Jacob Chychrun, right? The LA Kings are one of those teams that are deeply into conversations for Jacob Chychrun as we lead closer and closer to the deadline. And I would also add the caveat, like if they add another scorer, I think it is ripe for the taking. Guys, we've talked about this all season long with that Pacific. And James, what's going on with Vegas, man? Give me some answers here.
You know, if I had those answers, I'd be getting paid a lot more money than I am right now. That's for sure. You know, it's really, really unfortunate just to see like that team. They can't stay healthy. They can't get any consistency. You know, I'm seeing people on Twitter already turning on Jack Eichel saying, you know, like, I thought this dude was supposed to be a superstar. It's like, well, dude just had neck surgery and he's got, you know, 5 points in four games or whatever it is since he's back. Like, Jack Eichel's not the problem out there right now. It's the problem that this team can't stay healthy. They can't get consistent. And it's a very, very top heavy team. And we see that with a lot of top heavy teams, not just this year, but in years past, is, you know, if they go through a blip where they start losing guys to injury or just inconsistency, they don't have enough firepower for the rest of the team to pull them out of it. And I think that's what you're seeing with Vegas right now. And obviously they're in that conversation with a team like Edmonton recently now, you know, a team like Toronto, where we're starting to once again question their goaltending situation. You know, you can sit there hindsight being what it is and say, should they have traded Marc-Andre Fleury? That's in the past right now. But it's okay. What are you going to do for the rest of the season and next year? That's the biggest question to answer for Vegas right now, aside from the health issues, is what are you going to do in net?
Yeah, there are going to be some moves before the trade deadline involving Vegas. Maybe one, quite possibly two, or, you know, you never know. I think.
Do you think so?
I do. Yeah. I think they got to do something. They got to make room for everybody. And then they need to change something up in the goalie issue. Like, we don't know what's going on with Robin Leonard. We were talking about it over the weekend, right, guys? Like, you don't know if this is serious. You see, he's like, he might be coming back soon, but you don't hear anything definitively. It's he could be out a while. It's very up and down in terms of the news we've been getting on that situation. And it's been going on for a few weeks now, which is not a good sign. So anyway, Vegas is 1 point ahead of the Oilers with the same number of games played. I don't think the Ducks are in the mix anymore after being shut out by the Islanders at home, but Vancouver's had some nice wins lately, including a big one at the Garden. So, I mean, I think Vancouver's going to charge here. Winnipeg is falling out of it, but I wouldn't discount them completely and dismiss them. But you're talking about five teams or so fighting for one spot because Nashville looks pretty good right now. So, Vegas, I think Jay Kahn called it when we had him on last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago. He was saying they're not safe for a playoff berth. No. I think they'll ultimately make it. I'd be shocked if they didn't, especially with the deadline still being an opportunity to improve. But this is really alarming what's going on in out in Nevada.
Well, guys, I mean, it just shows you the importance of Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and Robin Leonard. You take those guys, and obviously they get paid lots of money to do what they do, but you take them off that roster, they're not the same team. And of course, Vegas, a four-game team this week as well. Riley Smith, William Karlsson, and I guess my guy Evgeny Dadonov. You have to look at the value there in a four-game week. I want to integrate this question to both you guys. And James, you can start with you. And I posed this on Twitter the other day. Who could be this year's Sam Bennett? And this will go right with what James's musings this week in terms of waiver pickups. But 52 points in 58 games since that deal between Calgary and Florida around last year's deadline. Some names that were thrown to me: Brandon Hagel, Jake DeBrusque, Jared McCann, Owen Tippett, Nick Ritchie, Pavel Zacha, I think is an intriguing one, and Anthony Beauvillier. What do you think, James?
The only one on that list that I think I could see putting up any kind of a performance close to what Bennett has put up would be DeBrusque. And it just, it would all be situational depending on where he goes. The other guys, you know, Tippett, I was a highly touted prospect, but he just never really showed enough. I mean, he was playing in that top six with Florida for most of the year. And he was struggling to, you know, with that opportunity to produce. I'm not fully convinced that the Islanders are going to tear it down and sell off a guy like a Beauvillier at the deadline. I think he still brings a lot, and I think they feel like they can retool for next year if they're out of it. DeBrusque, I think, would be that guy because we've seen the flashes and we've seen the promise of what he can do more so than any of the guys on that list that you named. So I think in the right situation, with an expanded role, and we're starting to see it right now. Who knows? He's playing fantastic over the last 2 weeks with the Bruins, and he's getting that shot on the top line with Marchand and Bergeron right now, and he's back up on that power play. So, he may go on a burner over the next month, and Boston says, you know, we can't trade this guy. But if he does get moved to a contender or a team where he's just going to get more of an opportunity, I think he would be the one who could most replicate what Sam Bennett's doing.
It's going to be tough for anyone to replicate what Bennett has done because he brings that category coverage element in fantasy where he's really at an elite level. Even when he's not scoring, he's still hanging up there among the top 50 overall players for most of the season, top 65, even when he's in a cold stretch. But yeah, DeBrusque, I mean, for years he's been on the second line or third line and has had some good moments in the playoffs, but had also had some really cold stretches in the playoffs. So I think that they're putting him up there on the top line to try to up his trade value.
Showcase.
And I think he's going to get traded before the, and there's just been way too much talk, I feel like, about DeBrusque getting traded this year. So I don't know. It depends on the situation. I don't know if he's going to get a better opportunity than he had in Boston, but you never know. There could be a spot alongside an elite center out there where he would be an upgrade, and then we'd be talking a little bit more seriously about him in fantasy. I picked him up in one league over the weekend. He's about 6-10% rostered right now. So I picked him up in my deepest league, and I'm giving it a shot. I'll see where he lands, and then if I don't like it, I'll just drop him at that time, you know?
I'm waiting for the Jake DeBrusque meme where, you know, he first asks for a trade to when he actually gets that trade. But I think it's important to note, just because somebody requests a trade doesn't mean they're you know, bound to get traded. Look at Vladimir Tarasenko. Sure. You know, to the most of my knowledge, Jake DeBrusque hasn't pulled his trade request either. But I think it's great news, guys, for both parties that he's playing the way he is to up that trade value. Staying on the waiver wire front, James, the back end, and we've talked about this all season long. It really is plug and play, but who are some guys you're looking at this week? Obviously, a couple injuries last week, Anthony DeAngelo and Zach Werenski in Columbus.
Big blows to both of those teams. If you're looking for inside replacements for both of them, I'm a big Brady Shea fan down in Carolina. He's been one of their top two or three defensemen this season in time on ice. He's starting to see a lot more production. He actually has very, very underrated category coverage when it comes to shots, hits, and blocks. So I would definitely say that, you know, from Carolina, if I'm looking for someone interior on Carolina, that would be where I would be going. Replacing a guy like Werenski is just so hard because of everything that he does. But Adam Boqvist quietly has 10 goals on the season. That could be a guy there. And a few other guys. I mean, Noah Dobson from the Islanders leads the NHL in goals by defensemen over the past 2.5 months. He has 9 since the middle of December. So he's definitely seen an uptick in production. And a guy who's skating on the Islanders right now, who is getting an opportunity playing, I think, 7 games in a row, Sebastian Aho. Yes, exactly spelled how you would spell the one from Carolina, but I can tell you they're not the same player. But Sebastian Aho, I believe, has a 5-game point streak, assists in 5 straight, and I think in 6 of his past 7 games playing for the Islanders. So a couple of really, you know, sneaky value guys there. There's value there. You just kind of have to, you know, find it. And really, it just comes down, you know, to the matchups that are out there. Like you said, that schedule manipulation that you love so much, Nick. You know, but a guy like Matt Roy back playing pretty solid minutes for the Los Angeles Kings right now, had a multi-point game over the weekend, has points in 3 of his last 5 games. So, you know, they're gems on the waiver wire. You just got to be able to find them.
Also, Philip Hronek over the weekend was on the other side of that 10-7 game, and he had 4 points. So that's an instant stamp of approval in my book.
Yes.
He's been kind of a quiet producer. You know what you're getting into with Detroit. The plus minus might not be pretty if your league counts that category, but he's pretty much second across the board. Ice time, points, a couple different categories behind Mo Sider for the Red Wings in terms of guys that are fantasy relevant on that blue line. And also a guy I saw, Colton Parayko. I don't take that much stock into plus minus, but he's been a plus player in 8 straight games and is a combined plus 14 in that 8 game stretch. So he's picking up steam on the St. Louis Blues blue line. And of course, that's such a deep offense. He'll get exposure to all 3 of those really good lines in St. Louis. So yeah, I'd consider Parayko, Philip Hronek, and then definitely echo what James said about Brady Shea.
Yeah, those are probably the guys I would add. Obviously, Noah Dobson, Mark Giordano could be on the move by the deadline. Mm-hmm. Jared Spurgeon with Minnesota. Again, as I've mentioned all throughout the podcast the last couple months, it really is plug and play. You ride the hot hand when it comes to defensemen because, Pete, this time of year, it's just so hard to find somebody consistent who's going to last me for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, the defenseman position is really scarce. You'll even see, you know, something like an injury and a little production swing get Jacob Slavin into the top 25 yep. defenseman like he is now with D'Angelo out and the opportunity ahead of him. So, yeah, and then I wanted to bring up the Washington Capitals. So this team's struggling right now. They've lost 5 in a row at home. I think they got kind of embarrassed the other day when they played the Rangers. It's kind of questionable. I saw you tweeting over the weekend when Samsonov left practice. Nick, I know he ended up playing, and now we hear that Vitek Vanacek is coming back soon. He's in the AHL in Hershey, but I just have some concerns about that team. They look like the worst of the playoff teams right now by far. I know they just got TJ Oshie back, but what are your guys' thoughts on the direction of the Capitals? I guess start with James.
You know, they're just going through one of those lulls right now. I think they're pretty banged up, but, you know, we've been questioning their goaltending all year since last year with Samsonov and Vanacek. And, you know, I'm not pinning my hopes on either one of them right now until I see something more. We know that they have the offense. It's going to come down to the back end with them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that front. Certainly, I think when you look at the Washington Capitals in general, it's, you know, one of those teams. The first half was really, really strong. The second half, not so much. I think they're going to find their way here, Bobby.
Oh, I mean, I don't know why you're tossing it to me, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say thanks, James, for joining us. Really appreciate it. Waiver wire stuff, great as always. And appreciate you hopping on early on a Monday, James.
Yeah, no, for sure. Appreciate you guys having me on. I just want to say that I did my call from last week did hit the Islanders and I had the Blues on the puck line. So, you know, I just want to throw that out there that I did finally hit something that I said on the podcast.
Yes. The audience appreciates it. I certainly appreciate it. Nick Alberga certainly appreciates it. Pete, the Islanders won. So he appreciates it. Thank you, James.
Yeah. Thanks, James.
All right, thanks, guys. James. Thanks. I'll see you next week.
So good stuff from James, Nick, and I want to get back into the Calder Trophy discussion because as much as we're pumping up Michael Bunting, I think a lot of people look at him as maybe, and there are voters, remember, on this. So like they look at him as an older guy out of the younger guys around the league. they look at him as a product of his line mates. And I think I look at Mo Sider as being the favorite right now with what he's doing in the scope of the defenseman position. You could really say that he's been a top 10 or top 15 defenseman in the whole league, even though he's playing on a bottom feeder. So what are the real chances that a guy not on the Red Wings is going to win this award?
Well, number one, I think Bunting deserves some serious consideration. The debate's going to be there with his age, but I'm sorry, it's been a thing for years in this league, and just numbers alone, he's really, really started to separate himself, right? I think he's around the Raymond territory now for the tops in terms of the points lead for rookies. And let's say he wins this by, 10 points over any other rookie. I think it's going to be difficult not to give it to Michael Bunting, but I'm right there with you. Like, I've been banging that drum right along with you all season long. You look at Mo Sider and what he's done on an inferior team like Detroit, a cellar-dwelling team, playing 20 minutes a night or whatever it is. I mean, it really, really is outstanding. And I just don't think people comprehend and understand how difficult that is to be that young and to play those type of minutes and contribute offensively. He would be my guy right now. Obviously, Lucas Raymond in that conversation. I think Bunting's going to be there. I guess you can never discount Cole Caulfield in a potential run, but it's got to be Mo Sider. I think people are overlooking what he truly is doing in Detroit, Pete.
And if you look at the rookie leaders in points since Matt Boldy was recalled, I think he's third. So he's getting up there too. Bunting's first and Anton Lundell is second. So that's since what, like early January, I think. So
yes.
Yeah, so Boldy's more likely than Cole Caulfield to get in the mix, but it's going to be a lot of ground to make up for either of those guys. But those are guys that are certainly charging into next season regardless. And Boldy's got like 6 power play points, so he's even benefiting from that top power play exposure in addition to even strength with Fiala. So Boldy, real long shot. You're going to need to probably expect better than a point per game from him to get into the top three if we're really being honest here, right, Nick?
Yeah, definitely. But that race is shaping up, and we've got some fantastic rookie content as per usual in the NHL this season. Yep. I just wanted to bring up too, Michael Bunting, I think, should be viewed as a must-own file moving forward. We got a lot of questions this week, Pete, about him, and also via Instagram. We were asked quite a bit about Jesper Bratt. I don't know how you feel on this player, but I do think he's another rest of season must own player. I mean, it's hard to, forget and not understand that this guy's got 48 points. He's got 18 goals in 47 games as we speak. I don't know what people are looking for, but last I checked, he was less than 50% owned in standard Yahoo leagues. Like, I just think there's so much value. I know he's not playing with Jack Hughes right now, but Jesper Bratt is a guy I'm owning right now for sure, Pete.
It hasn't mattered who his line mate has been. It hasn't mattered other than that little injury absence he had. He's been so consistent. He's Jack Hughes is now well better than a point per game on the season. So if they're playing on separate lines, you have a really nice offense there, and you're going to see them score goals even in losses like we saw the other day with that game against Chicago where they put up 5 goals in a loss. So, yeah, I'm big on Jesper Bratt. It's been tough to rank him. Just because of his team, but he really deserves, in hindsight, like, he should be ranked higher than he is right now. We'll update the forward rankings this week. He'll be considerably higher, but it's just been one thing or another with the Devils, right? Like, he was playing well, and then Hughes got injured, or Hughes was on COVID, and then now he got injured, but now they're all back. Hamilton's back, so the Devils have some sneaky appeal for the stretch run, no doubt about it.
Lots of value. They can't make a save, and that's not an indictment on their goaltending, but their 1 and 2 are out, and they're looking for a goalie, as last we heard, closing in the deadline, obviously, for rest of season purposes. But Dougie Hamilton, Pete, first and foremost, we got a question about him. Definitely would pick him up. Definitely would trade for him. I think there's some extreme value with him. I think anybody associated with that top 6 in New Jersey, including my guy, Igor Sharangovich, who I'm pimping this week, my man.
Sharangovich got a 6 game point streak, and he's tri eligible in Yahoo League. So, a lot of it coming at even strength, but he's the guy playing with Jack Hughes. And we knew it coming into the year that they were going to have chemistry that they developed from the stretch run of last year. So yeah, Sharangovich, I really like. Big opportunity here for him to solidify himself on the top line. And that's a big deal, right? Because the Devils have a lot of prospects coming up the next couple of years. And if that's proven chemistry with him and Hughes, they're going to have to work around that, because We've seen a lot of different guys contribute this year, but I feel like when Sharangovich and Hughes are both healthy and playing together, that's the best 1-2 punch they have on the top line. So, yeah. And then Hamilton, I can't even believe that I saw that question. I can't even believe that he would be out there in any league. We instantly slotted him into the top 15 defensemen when he was coming back, but yeah, good things so far. And the Devils are definitely looking up. This is not your typical, if it was a Devils non-contending team, like in the past decade, right? Be kind of a little bit boring, not flashy, not offensive minded, but this is a different Devils team.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say this to Davey Satriano, who I know listens to every episode. They're my what if team. I always ask what if with New Jersey. There's so much talent. But again, the goaltending has been of a grave concern this season. We love our listeners and the Instagram questions. They're coming in. Shout out to my boy, Giulio, just saying I'm Italian. Come stai to you. We got a question about Philippe Danault. We talked about it, guys. LA is a team I'm all over this week, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Danault's been a great story, Pete, and I don't think it's being spoken about enough. You look at free agency last offseason, how much bad press did LA get about that signing, the term, the cap? I think, that was a masterful signing, and Philippe Danault has pretty much come as advertised to Los Angeles. He's opened up way more space for Andre Kopitar, I feel.
And you know what, that contract, as it gets older, as he gets older, he's just going to help some of those younger Kings defensemen develop, namely Quentin Byfield. It'll eventually flip-flop where Byfield yes. becomes the number two center and he goes down to number three center. But just what he's getting out of his line mates, I mean, bounce back season for Victor Arvidsson. Trevor Moore, like James mentioned, this guy has 28 points in his past 31 games. Trevor Moore has been a bottom six player on the LA Kings that has done nothing fantasy-wise ever. And now he's like a point per game player over like 2 months. It's because of Philippe Danault. It's because of that connection. And I totally agree with you. He's as valuable as Kopitar and Doughty and Quick and Peterson are to that team. Like, he's been the difference why they're going from non-playoff to playoff team. And he's arguably been their MVP this season. So I'm glad you brought him up again. And I think that the fact that he's fantasy relevant shows that he's even taken a next step in his career, because how many years was he on Montreal's top line and nobody was picking him up in fantasy. So he's even come along individually really nicely.
Oh, he has. And bottom line, he's picking up points, which is great for fantasy hockey. And speaking of which, we talked about the Maple Leafs over the weekend. They scored 10 goals and a lot of it was from the top line. But somehow, some way, the former captain of your beloved Islanders, John Tavares, did not pick up a point. He's in a really, really bad stretch right now. I think it's important to bring up his first half was outstanding. It was maybe some of the best hockey we've seen from John Tavares. But it seems like ever since the Olympic announcement, he hasn't been the same player. Where do you stand on John Tavares, Pete, rest of season? And this is stemming from a question we got via Instagram. Because again, the offense hasn't been there. I think he's up to 13 games without a goal and he's not really producing offensively. And this is a guy for the most part who was considered a top 50 file coming into the season, right?
Yeah. And his plus minus is no good in his past 16 games either. He's minus nine. I've kind of been noticing that. I don't have JT on any of my fantasy teams, but the goal drought's alarming. The plus minus is alarming for what it's worth. The shot volume is still good, 46 in 16 games during this drought, but I think he'll be okay. But I think as you look in the rankings, like this week when we're doing them, him or Anze Kopitar, I'll go Kopitar. Or Dylan Larkin, I'll go Larkin. You know, there are a couple of guys at that position that are sinking a little bit. Tavares is one of them. You know, Kuznetsov is another. It's tough when you have a proven guy like that that's just not producing for you, and you could never really think about dropping him. Like, I would never drop John Tavares, and I wouldn't even trade him because good chance he turns it around. It's kind of a weird dry spell right now. I would be patient with John Tavares because even during that 16 game streak where he has only two goals, he's got 13 points because he has 11 assists. So I think he'll be fine, especially with Willie Nylander on his wing. So, and then Nick, what are your thoughts on Nick Robertson? Jason's brother came back over the weekend, only played like 9 minutes, but is this a guy that in a really deep league that you would consider streaming? You think he has any business being in the top six when he's
really
healthy?
Really deep league.
Yeah, no, I don't see it. He's not Jason. That's the way I would answer the question. It's tough playing in Toronto, and to get the accolades he got before playing a single NHL game, I mean, is really gone against him. But I don't think I'm even looking at Nick Robertson right now. He's not even playing in the top six.
Fair enough. I've been excited about that player in the past.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I brought it up, but I guess, we're not picking up Nick Robertson right now.
I think fantasy. It was a bit of a showcase too, Pete. Like, I think that's one of the things to bring up. It's important this time of year is teams, I guess, you know, showing other teams what players can do at the NHL level. It's happened quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, and I think that was a perfect indication. It's a bit of a bug going through the Toronto room, so they saw it as an opportunity to get Nick Robertson in an NHL game. And I would just lastly say to tie things up on John Tavares, I think it's a good buy low opportunity. You know, I love extracting value. I just want to add a couple things about the schedule, and then we'll wrap. I promise, producer Bob. Four game teams: Boston, Carolina, LA, Minnesota, Jersey, Ottawa, Tampa, and Vegas. Eight of them. So I'd look at waiver ads from them. The two game teams: Arizona, Florida, Nashville, and Ottawa. So stay away when it comes to waiver additions. And to some bets, some plays. Monday, Hughes versus Hughes. Love that. Vancouver at New Jersey. Yaroslav Halak expected in that game. Probably shade towards the over, Pete. How do you feel about that one?
Yeah, I love the way Jack Hughes is playing. He's got three straight multi-point games, two straight three-point games. So, and Quinn Hughes is, I don't think he had a point in his last game, but he's been ripping it up as well since he came back from COVID list. So good to see those guys back healthy. They both got COVID over the All-Star break.
All-Star, so, yes.
And now they're back and playing at the height of their careers right now. So they haven't played each other in like 2 years or something since the last time we had a normal season. So yeah, that'll be a big showcase game. A couple other things I wanted to note. Matt Boldy for the Wild, who we mentioned earlier, is now dual eligible, left wing, right wing. Roster percentage way too low. It's only in the 30s. Yes. So he should be rostered in all leagues for the most part. Nathan MacKinnon came back from injury over the weekend. 14 shots. I saw you highlighted it over the weekend. I can't remember a time where a guy had that many shots in an NHL game. And he scored two goals in that game, scored another in the come from behind win against Vegas on Saturday. So Colorado's looking A-OK right now after Mac's return.
Very curious to see what happens Tuesday, Calgary at Minnesota. Might look at the Wild and regulation in that game. They're on home ice. Calgary gave it to them last week in Calgary. So that's my angle there. Bobby boy, you got something for us?
I'm looking at that Tuesday slate. I love that Calgary Minnesota game. I'll get into that. I'll watch that. The Monday slate, Toronto Washington, right? I mean, Washington, you guys were talking about it, needs to get this ship in order, but three game slate on Monday. I don't have many picks for any of these days or games.
Chalky.
It's a little nothing much. I'm not seeing much, but excited for the hockey here.
Not seeing the board, are we? Okay. I wanted to bring up my Tage Thompson anytime goal hit on Friday. I was pleased about that.
Pat yourself on the back, Peter. What else you got before we put a bow on it for a Monday?
I like Ottawa. I think Ottawa's got sneaky appeal for the rest of the season there. I know that they didn't score. They scored one goal against Montreal over the weekend, but Matt Murray came back. So that means that they're going to have a good goalie in net, whether it's Forsberg or Murray, pretty much every single night. So, you know, sprinkle a little Senators into your fantasy roster, even at the goalie position. I wouldn't hesitate from doing that. They play the Lightning on Tuesday. Maybe that's a little trap game for Lightning.
Yeah.
Yes. Tampa Bay looked great over the weekend. I think they probably deserved an outdoor game like 5 years ago, but it was great to see them finally play outdoors and seize that moment and get the win. So Tampa Bay is as good as it gets still. And but still, I would not discount those Ottawa Senators on Tuesday to provide some sneaky value in fantasy or maybe betting wise.
Here's a sneaky play. Colin White, who I thought looked really, really good in his season debut on Saturday. And that's how I'll leave it, Pete.
Yeah. And they got Shabbat back too. So, good opportunity for them. And then looking ahead to the Wednesday slate, because our next show will be Thursday. Blues Rangers, a little Buchnevich revenge, maybe.
Love it. Yes,
I know people are saying that was a bad trade in hindsight. So Buchnevich will return to the Garden. So that's something I'm excited for on Wednesday. So again, thanks to Waiver Wire James for hopping on. Looking forward to the week ahead. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, Bob Bender saying so long, and talk to you Thursday, NHL Fantasy on Ice.